Hello and welcome to the programme which looks at the Holy Land. I am Paul Calvert. Psalm 133 from the New King James Bible says this: Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
I'm with Ben Goldstein, CEO of Unity Warriors. Now, Ben, what is Unity Warriors?
Hi, I really appreciate you having me today. Thank you. Unity Warriors is a passion of mine. I started after the three boys, Eyal, Gilad, and Naftali, were kidnapped and brutally murdered by Hamas in 2014. And I recognized that as soon as we realized that over 10, 12, 15,000 soldiers would be within hours in our area, just south of Jerusalem, across from Bethlehem, between Bethlehem and Hebron, I realized that these soldiers would be coming down here searching for these three kidnapped boys. They'd have nothing. And they might need things. They might need somebody to look out for them. They'd pack a bag real fast. They'd come down from their bases all over the country, and they began searching for these boys. It was a huge operation. And it started with me simply buying them cold drinks and snacks and sometimes cigarettes and watch batteries, whatever they would need to keep them in a positive mood while they were working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I wanted to try to help them, to do my part as well. And after a while, I started to run out of money. I couldn't continue to buy dozens of bags of treats every day. And I walked up to the Cave of the Patriarchs. I gave a bag to two of the soldiers standing there. And I asked one of them, and I said, brother, I said this in Hebrew. I said, Achi, I said, brother, what do you really need? I know it's nice to get chocolate and gum and Bamba and cold Cokes, but what do you really need? And he said, Ben, look at this vest I'm wearing. It was an old, just bulky two-piece armor vest system where they'd have to put this big, heavy ceramic armor vest on, and it had buckles. And then on top of that, they'd have to put their load-bearing vest that had all their equipment on it. And they would tell me they would have chafing that would bleed on their skin, the heat rashes. They could hardly even fit through doorways when they're trying to go in and arrest terrorists in villages. And it struck me. I said, look, if I can help, I will. And immediately I picked up my phone. I turned it towards me. I had the Cave of the Patriarchs behind me. And I made a call to action on Facebook. And at that time, maybe I had 20, 30 Facebook friends. But I wanted to do something. So I took action and I said, hey, if you want to help the soldiers of Israel directly, then you can send money my way, which already sounds scary to most people, right? And I will purchase the life-saving protective equipment they are asking for. And then I will turn around and show you through video, through a live video on Facebook, with your name being thanked by the soldiers as I put this new armor over them to protect them, or present them with a searchlight that allows them to see at night, or to give them a life-saving trauma kit so if there's an attack on them, they can stop the bleeding and survive. And that started to grow because people saw the transparency as to what I was offering. It wasn't simply write a check and hope your money goes somewhere, you get a nice email, everything's done. It was, you're going to see through me, through my eyes and through my camera and through Facebook as a platform and other videos, precisely where your donation dollars are going. And where does it go? Directly to protect the soldiers of Israel. And that started to grow as the war in 2014 started to erupt. And way back when, even, I saw the need from these soldiers for upgraded, better equipment. Now, fast forward to 2024, we all see that the IDF has admitted over and over that the lack of equipment is the massive problem. People all over the world have been trying to supply IDF soldiers with the equipment they need in order to come home safely from the battlefield. But it was back then that I decided that from here on out, I'm going to make this into a passion of mine. And that started to grow. And from one soldier to the other, my number started to get passed around. And before you know it, I'm starting to get a dozen or two WhatsApp messages every single day from soldiers from all the different units within the IDF, the Israeli police, and even the security teams, the civilian security teams in Judea and Samaria, and specifically along the Gaza border. And that led to Unity Warriors being the go-to organization for IDF soldiers and medics in order to receive the life-saving equipment and protective equipment that they need on a daily basis but aren't receiving. But that's just one beautiful factor of Unity Warriors.
Obviously, Israel is at war today. So how are you helping soldiers today?
So since October 7th specifically, we have been focusing our efforts almost entirely on providing the combat medics, paramedics, doctors, and soldiers in the field in Gaza and now in Lebanon with trauma kits. These are individual called IFAK, I-F-A-K in English. They are first aid kits, but they are trauma kits that are meant to stop the bleeding in a traumatic incident, gunfire, explosions, and whatever occurs in the heat of battle. And it included inside of this kit is the best stop the bleeding equipment that we can possibly buy for these heroes. And thank God, as of today, we have nearly 13,000 of these personal trauma kits in Gaza. And as of today, approximately 1,200 of these already in Lebanon. And we just placed an order for nearly 100 medical trauma bags. And these are bags that the doctors in combat and the upper level paramedics will wear into Lebanon and into Gaza, and it will help them treat mass casualty incidences. And we are getting a massive amount of requests for our specialty equipment. All the equipment we buy is the best of the best. It's all approved here in Israel through the ministries. And we are receiving these requests directly from the head medics, head paramedics, head doctors, head surgeons, and soldiers in the field telling us they simply don't have enough of it and they need more. And they're using our equipment to save their friends in battle, and they need it to be replenished. So it's truly a constant need that we fulfill. And I'm proud to say we are the only organization in Israel, probably in the world right now, that are consistently supplying the heroes of Israel on all of these battlefronts with these types of stop the bleeding kits and trauma backpacks to save their lives.
You hearing any stories of lives that have been saved by these medical kits?
Absolutely. We receive messages from the soldiers in the field. We receive it on WhatsApp. They call us. They meet up with us when we resupply them with gear. And as an example, way in the beginning of the war even, there was the first mass casualty incident in Gaza where soldiers inside of a building, the building on the second floor, the entire second floor exploded on them. And several soldiers were killed instantly, and many soldiers were left wounded and bleeding. And the medic and paramedic who were on the scene after the incident told us very, very clearly in writing that it was because of the tourniquets and the hemostatic gauze and the first care Israeli bandage that was inside of this little specialty case on each of the soldiers' vests who were wounded, that the medic and paramedic would go up to each one, take out the gear from their own vest that they're wearing, apply it on them, and move on to the next one. And they told us without any question whatsoever, if those kits that we supplied through our generous donors all over the world weren't on the vests of those soldiers would have bled out. And that is a primary example that exemplifies and shows the, as of today, we know specifically that there have been 97 IDF soldiers' lives saved, not just treated. That's hundreds of soldiers treated, but lives saved, and they went home alive instead of dead, thank God, because of these trauma kits that through our donors we've supplied. And to us, that means absolutely everything.
How are the soldiers responding to the work that you're doing?
The soldiers gave me a nickname. Again, I've been doing this for over 11 years straight, every day, as of now. This isn't something that just popped up on October 9th or 10th because of the need. And there has been a lot of good from many organizations since the horrors of October 7th. But the soldiers understood that with me, it was through Ben Goldstein and Unity Warriors. Now it's Ben Goldstein, Sean Binyamin, Mikey Binyamin. We have a small but very effective team, and they know that they can contact us without any bureaucracy, without any red tape, without any, hey, yeah, maybe in a couple of months we'll get it to you. They know that typically within 24 hours, not only have they received a message in return that they will receive what they need, but they have already received the equipment in their hands. And how is that possible? Yeah, there's only three of us working, but we have volunteers that drive the equipment to the northern border, close as they can get to it. We've been driving down to the Gaza border and to the bases in Gaza and to the communities in Gaza. For instance, Be'eri, very famous Be'eri, Kisufim. These are communities that Unity Warriors has resupplied the security teams of these communities with everything they need in order to get back into fully functioning form. And that includes armored vests for their whole team to protect them. That includes helmets to protect them. That includes searchlights to allow them to search at night for terrorists. And we're very proud, being such a small organization, the amount of impact that we've had on so many soldiers, on so many units, and on so many communities that need it, that they know they can rely on us. And that's kind of been the way it's been since 2014. They called me Ben Hamishafter. And what that means is I even got a little patch from them once that had those two words. That's my name. And Hamishafter kind of loosely means the guy that hooks you up with the gear you need. And that was always something that I took pride in, even though it took time away from my family and children, even though many times I had to eat the cost of the gear myself. As an example, I don't know if you recall, I don't even remember when it was, maybe 3 years ago, but Israel was being threatened because of the Eurovision, and they were threatening to go to war with us, and there was a huge threat of war at the time. And everybody that I knew on my WhatsApp list, they were all contacting, Ben, we're going to war. My helmet is from 1982. I need an upgraded helmet, or I'm not going to be able to wear this into battle. Or, Ben, I need trauma equipment. I'm a combat medic. I have nothing. On and on. Multiply that by at least 30, 40. And that's within a couple of days. And I'm not going to look at my brothers and sisters going into combat to save our lives and tell them no. So I told my gear supplier, who I've been working directly and only with for 12 years, I told him, order the equipment. Within 24 hours, all of those 30 people had their equipment. And then guess what? There was no war. And the donors who told me 24 hours before they were going to cover it, a few days later, since there's no war, they ended up forgetting to give me the money for it. So I had to end up eating that myself. I don't make a lot of money at all. But that at least showed me that I'm willing to go all the extra mile, no matter what it takes, in order to make certain that these heroes receive what they need. Now, thank God we've grown since then. We've also become more mature since then. And now we supply only with the backing of the financial backing of people who send us the donations. And we are 501c3 tax deductible in the United States. So in America, people will receive a tax receipt on the donation given. And the transparency has been so clear with me over the years. If you scroll through my Facebook and my YouTube or website or what have you, you could see videos from 10 years ago. You can see videos from 5 years ago. You can see videos from 3 years ago. And you can see dozens upon dozens of videos over the past 400 days.
I imagine it's really boring eating the food as a soldier. So you also provide pizza. Tell us about that.
Yes, we always want to make sure that we can take care of the soldiers, not only with the physical equipment they need to save their lives and to protect Israel, but we also want to make sure that we take the pressure off of them in every way possible and kind of allow them to breathe. And pizza is one aspect. We've done dozens of barbecues for thousands of soldiers. We've given out hundreds and hundreds of pizzas to dozens of units over the years. We give out gifts during the holidays. But our real pride and joy is that we work very, very closely on the mental health of not only the soldiers, but also of people around us in the communities where we live who are suffering because of the war or because of terror. People forget a very large number of combat soldiers come from the Judean Samaria regions, a very high number of combat soldiers and officers. And unfortunately, there isn't a community around us. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting right across from the cemetery of Kfar Etzion, where my friend Ari Fold is buried, and so many soldiers that I know are buried. Friends of mine are buried here from victims of terror and victims of war. And we want to make certain that people around us know that they're not going to be turned away for treatment. So we're working on a beautiful project, and we're working with the local municipality. I can't say which neighborhood right now or which region, but it's going to be a home for lone soldiers that come from the hardest hit sectors of Israeli society, people who truly have nowhere to come and nowhere to go, no family, no income. They want to break the cycle that they're in. And we're going to allow them to grow positively in that home, while simultaneously, that home will have a little separate grounds area where we will have a treatment center for post-trauma for not only soldiers, veterans, but also victims of terror. Well, we're going to be offering free sessions 3 times a week that allow these individuals to start healing. And inclusive in that, we've also planted post-trauma stress disorder, PTSD therapy gardens in the area where victims of terror and veterans of the war and of combat go to plant life into the land, to heal, to have barbecues, to play basketball, to have sessions, and to feel included again in society in a positive way. And so the pizza and the barbecue and the treats and all of that, it's helpful and we enjoy it. But I'll tell you truthfully, as an organization, I would prefer to know that I'm stopping a veteran from committing suicide, God forbid, or from his family from breaking apart and getting a divorce than buying 10 pizzas this week. And I would imagine most mature people in the world would agree with me. Now, with that said, when we have a bar mitzvah group, when we have a family coming in, we always tell them, here's your option. We're not just going to do a pizza party for soldiers. We don't do that. We're not just going to do a barbecue for soldiers. There's plenty of organizations you can go to that's what they do. They barbecue for soldiers. What we're going to do is we're going to meet the soldiers. We're going to donate to them life-saving equipment they need face-to-face. You're going to give it to them. And then we're all going to sit down and have pizza and ice cream together. And you know what? It's the perfect trifecta. When they do all that with us here, and at the end, they travel along the ancient path of the patriarchs with me, and they immerse themselves into 4,500 years of our history and our heritage and our strength and our beauty and Torah and the light and truth and security. And we end it all by planting fruit trees overlooking Bethlehem and Jerusalem on this ancient path. It's truly a magical experience that people say is the greatest time they've ever had in this beautiful land. So, as I mentioned, the soldiers that we work with are an overwhelmingly massive part of what we do every day. But we also have never stopped planting and growing and building this land. And right where I sit, we have close to 14,000 trees planted. That's 14,000 trees hand-planted along the path of the patriarchs. Probably right across from where you're sitting, across Route 60, you can see it. And we're extremely proud of that. We build water wells out here. We build decks for families to come out and have picnics. We have a free wedding canopy at one of the highest points in the land where the Muslims and the Jews both have said for centuries that this is where our father Abraham stood with Isaac and looked at Mount Moriah, the place from afar, like it says, I believe in Genesis 22 or 23. So what we do is really two sides of the coin, but it's all for Israel. Now, one more thing that I do, which isn't the taking care of soldiers, it isn't the planting, but one goal of mine has always simply been to show Israel to the world in the light that she deserves to be seen, to break the sin of the spies who lied about the land so many years ago, and to connect the nations with Israel and Jews all over the world with Israel. Even though we all believe different things, and there are many Jews that I know that don't really believe anything, but I know without any question, because God tells us so, that we could use this base of Israel as this base of unity to show the world the light of Israel. And let me tell you, brother, a lot of Jews don't understand this, unfortunately, but our job in the world isn't to be the best tax accountant for you. Our job in the world as a Jew isn't to be the best doctor for you. Our job isn't to be the best attorney, as every movie makes fun of, and it's, you know, pretty true as it is. Our job, according to the God of Israel, is trifold. It is to be a mamlechet kohanim, a nation of priests. It is to be a nation that follows godliness, a holy nation. Am kadosh tihiyeh. You will be a holy nation to me. And the third is to be or legoyim, a light to the world, to the nation. And what does that mean? It means that we must reflect the light of godliness, what God showed us on Mount Sinai, what God showed us as a nation, the Torah and the law that God gave us, that God tells us in prophecy that the law and the Torah will flow forth from Jerusalem and Zion in the end of days. The temple will be rebuilt. The sacrifices will resume. The prince himself, the Mashiach, this is all in Ezekiel and Jeremiah and all the other prophets, he himself will offer a bull offering for his own unintentional sins and the sins of the people. And my job as a Jew, as a little part of this whole mission, is to stand on the highest hilltop in the land, which is where I live, and to be that beacon of light in my own way, to show the world, not the politics of Israel, not just necessarily always the security aspect of Israel, but what Israel truly represents to us and to the world. This is the future for all of us as a nation, and this is where the entire world will come to, as the prophet tells us, when 10 men of the 10 nations of the world grab onto your shirt strings, meaning our teeth that we wear, and say, take me to Jerusalem, for we hear that God is with you there. That is our job as a nation, to project that and to make that come to fruition. And all I hope every day is that I'm doing my best to exemplify that.
So people can sponsor a tree. How do they do that?
Absolutely. They can go on the website, Unity Warriors, UNITYWARRIORS.org. That means .org. And they can go under where it says plant a tree. They can see exactly what they're getting for their money. We don't just plant a little baby sapling like many organizations do, if they even plant it for you. You never quite see your tree. You get a certificate from these organizations, but you never know where your tree went. With us, we're buying an already mature 30 to 40 liter Judean tree. We're buying it from an Israeli nursery in the middle of the country. We are planting it on the path of the patriarchs overlooking Bethlehem and Jerusalem. We're planting it with our bare hands, and we're doing it every week. But not only that, when they do donate a tree, they're also donating, as part of their funding, the watering line that's going to be laid over it. They're going to be paying for the water that's dripping onto these trees to keep it alive. And all of that is built into the price of the tree. They're helping us with the tools that we have to purchase. And the point of that is that we're not a multi-billion dollar organization that makes claims and you don't necessarily know if those claims are coming true. We are a small organization, wholly committed to the purity of our job to protect the people and plant the land. And all you really have to do is see through my social media, which is wide open, the hundreds of videos that we've made planting for individuals, planting with families and groups here in the land. And it's one of our greatest joys, is to break into this holy soil and to plant new life into the ground, especially now with all of the death and darkness. To plant new life into this land is a great testament to our dedication to Israel.
Why do you do what you do?
That's a beautiful question, and I can't explain it. I can just tell you that I am madly in love with her and all of her complexities. And maybe that would make my wife jealous to hear that, but she understands that when I say that, I'm talking about Israel. And what that statement means is that I don't live with my head in the clouds. My feet are firmly on this soil. I'm not a trust fund baby where I don't have to worry about my bills. I worry about bills every day like every other working Joe out there. I can tell you from when I was 13, I came to Israel for the first time for my bar mitzvah. And the second I arrived at the Western Wall for my bar mitzvah, and I turned and I saw two Israeli soldiers, they smiled and they reached their hand to shake my hand and wish me a mazal tov. At 13, I turned to my parents right then and there, and I said, this is what I'm going to do. And ever since then, that's all I've cared about. I didn't care about school. I didn't go to college. When all of my friends went to college in 1996, right after I graduated high school in 95, I went to become a lone soldier in the first Jewish army since King David. Nobody else was doing it back then. To be a lone soldier back then, there was very few of us. There were no programs. There was no housing. You were just kind of thrown in with the mix, and you had to learn Hebrew during doing push-ups. But I was in love, and I knew, even through the hard times, even through the frightening times, even through all that we've been through here, even through the suicide bombings, even through everything that we've seen, I know that this is the only place I ever want to be in. I know that I don't want to ever get on an airplane to leave these borders. I know that every breath I take needs to be the breath of this holy, beautiful air. And I know that my feet need to be connected to this land. Why? Not just because it's beautiful, but because this is the only place on earth that I feel the truth of godliness and to the purpose into what we are as a nation in this world. And every person who comes to this land, no matter where they come from on this great earth, when they walk back to Ben-Gurion Airport, walk down the terminal, they are crying because they're leaving their soul in this land. And I know it, and I feel it, I admit it, and then I recognize that in order for me to really grab on to the higher truth, which isn't faith anymore, it's truth, because I see F-35, I see F-16s with the Star of David under their wings. I see IDF uniforms with Hebrew on it. I see tanks built in Israel. I see agricultural innovations and technological and medical innovations that have made this world just an unbelievably magnificent place. And I see it all from a tiny nation that makes up less than 0.001% of the global population. A people who my own wife, her family was completely eliminated in Poland by the Nazis, shot in a forest. My own family, very similar story. And 75 years later, I am watching the greatest miracle, the greatest open miracle this world has ever seen. And for me to deny that, like Ben-Gurion said, if you don't believe in miracles living in this land, you know, you're not even alive at that point. That's not what he said, but that's kind of the idea. It led me to this point where I recognize that this is the only job for me because I am damn good at it and I love it. And I do it well. My team does it beautifully, even better than me. And we do it with an open heart to all who reach towards us. And it's really all I ever want to do until my last breath is to protect these people that I'm blessedly a part of, that I stand on their shoulders, even of the teenagers of my community, these teens that go out and plant the land and build the land on their own. They don't ask, they do. I'm a nothing compared to even them. But I learn from all of those around me. I learn from the beauty of this beautiful nation that I'm a part of. And I do my best to continue to serve this nation. Because as I've told myself every day, if I can leave this earth with the title of servant, then I have reached the highest of heights. Because that's what Moses was called by God. So that's really my goal, is to continue to do what I do best and to continue, hopefully, for people to allow me to continue to do that. And the only way to do that is to spread the word, to spread the light, and for people to join in our mission. There is no other way.
What's your website for people who'd like to know more about the work that you do?
It's unitywarriors.org, www.unitywarriors, unitywarriors.org. And the name itself, as you'll notice, it isn't something like protectisrael.com or thejewishfund.org. I thought about the name Unity Warriors very hard over quite some period of time before I decided on it. And a lot of people, when they ask me, why did you choose that? It's like, who knows what that means? I tell them there's a reason why I do what I do. Unity is the reason why we are going to receive redemption. The lack of unity is the reason why our second temple was destroyed. It wasn't because we didn't keep Shabbat. It wasn't because Jews were eating pork. That all of the breakdown of who we are as Jews does lead to disunity in the camp, of course, and it's frowned upon, and it's against Torah law. But it's the actual baseless hatred, brother to brother and sister to sister, that brought the walls down, that caused the destruction. And it is only through unity that we'll rebuild the temple. And how do I know that? Because God tells us so. What did God choose to put on the Holy of Holies, on top of the holiest place in the world, where even the head priest couldn't even go in unless he was completely pure. And even then, only a couple times a year, he chose to put the two baby-faced angels, the cherubim. And they had wings that embraced each other when we as a nation were together. And when we were apart, these mystical, angelic, golden statues who were made out of one pure block of gold, that oneness representing our unity and God's oneness, when we were against each other, they would turn their backs. And if I say the prayer, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, multiple times a day, and if I wear my tefillin, my phylacteries on my arm and on my head, like the Torah commands me to do, in that very Shema, and the Shema prayer is written on the parchment in those tefillin, and the mezuzah on my doorpost contains the Shema Yisrael prayer, I have to think, why? What is this whole big thing about Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one? God is telling us, my children, if you want to reflect my godliness, you must reflect my oneness. And only through that unification process will you as a people receive true godliness, which is our redemption. And that's, again, that's what I live for every single day.
Well, Ben, thank you very much for sharing today.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today. Pray that God will move by his mighty power in the Holy Land and bring his peace.